ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. And this is text number 30. Tato Gajendrasya Mano Balaujasam Kalina Dirkina Mahanabhut Vayaha Yaya Vikrishya Manasya Jaleva Siddhato Viparya Yobhut Sakalam Jalaukasa. I'm going to read the word for word before you chant so you know what it means. Tata. Thereafter, Gaja Indrasya of the King of the Elephants. Mana, of the strength of enthusiasm. Bala, the physical strength. Ojasam, of the strength of the senses. Kalina, because of years of fighting. Tirkena, prolonged. Mahan, great. Abhut, became. Vyayayaha, the expenditure. Vikrishyamanasya, who is being pulled by the crocodile. Jale, into the water, a foreign place. Avasidata, reduced mental, physical, and sensory strength. Viparyaya, the opposite. Abhut, became Sakalam, all of them. Jalaukasa, the crocodile, whose home is in the water. Tato Gajendrasya Mano Balaujasam Kalina Dirkena Mahan Abhut Vayaha Vikrishyamanasya Jaleva Siddhato Viparya Yobhut Sakalam Jalaukasa. Translation: thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical, and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength, and sensual power. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food, and under the circumstances, his bodily strength diminished. And because his bodily strength diminished, his mind also became weak, and his senses less powerful. Crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now, from this, we may take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy, in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone. And therefore, there are divisions of varnashrama, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one take sannyas. Ashvamedham galavambam, sannyasam palapaitrakam, devarina sutopatim, kalau puncha vivarjayat, from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. From this we can understand that in this age the sannyas ashram is forbidden because people are not strong. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years, but even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. For preaching, we give young boys sannyas, but actually it is being experienced that they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however, if one thinks that he is unfit for sannyas. If he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely the grihastha ashrama. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean that he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we shall see Gajendra do. And at the same time, one can be a grihastha if he is satisfied with sexual indulgence. There is no need to give up the fight. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended Stani Stita Shruti Katam Tanuvan Manobhi. One must stay in whichever ashram is suitable for him. It is not essential that one take sannyas. If one is sexually agitated, he can enter the grihastha ashram. But one must continue fighting. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter the grihastha ashram and fight Maya with great strength, but one should not give up fighting and go away. I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all the Vaishnavas who are present here today, because the Vaishnavas are the most worshipable of all living entities. Hare Krishna. So, this is a very practical verse given in the context of Gajendra fighting with the crocodile. And the crocodile had captured Gajendra by the leg. And this was quite unexpected. But one should expect the unexpected here in the material world, because sooner or later someone will find a crocodile on his or her leg. And one has to be prepared for this inevitability. And for this, one has to have yoga balena, or spiritual strength. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as a prerequisite for one attaining perfection at the end of life. Prayana kale manasachalena pakya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye sthanam avesh samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. Krishna mentions in chapter 8, Attaining Supreme, that one should practice throughout one's lifetime so that at the end of life, prayana kale, one has yoga balena, or spiritual strength. What should one have?
Yoga balena.
That is correct, yoga balena. You have to have spiritual strength. And that comes through determined practice throughout one's life. And such practice should take place according to one's capacity, because if we feel uncomfortable and our minds become deviated because we're not in a, as Prabhupada states in the purport, a natural position in life, we may not be able to steadily perform the basic practices of devotional service. So Prabhupada quotes, Stani stita shuti katam tanuvan manobir. In the context, he quotes it, he's saying that we should find the way in which we're most comfortable so that we can go on fighting with Maya. And in this, he says, we must have physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. What should we have? Physical strength, Yeah. Physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. So to keep themselves fit, they must place themselves in a normal condition of life. So this is something Krishna also mentions in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam when he says, Sve sve adhikarya nishta saguna parikirtita. That it is a good quality, guna, if one acts according to one's qualification, one's adhikari. Sve sve adhikari. Everyone has a certain natural stage of life or a way in which one interacts with the world in a natural way. Sve sve adhikari yanishta. And if one stays in that situation and at the same time performs one's devotional service according to one's capacity at that stage of life, then Krishna says this is a good quality. Then he says, Viparya tu dosha syat. The opposite is a fault. That is, if you try to do more than you're qualified for, or if you do so out of balance, then this is called a fault. And it also happens to be a fault if you do less than you're qualified for. So you have to be well adjusted in your life. And there are various practical ways in which Prabhupada's mentioning that we should adjust our lives. For instance, there are various ashramas. Shrama means to work without any results. Simply to work hard without getting anything in return. That's shrama. Everyone please say shrama.
Shrama.
Shrama evahi kevalam. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that those who do work without developing a taste for devotional service are merely performing shrama. That is work with no good result. And ashrama means the opposite. When you put an akar in front of shrama, it becomes the opposite of shrama, becomes ashrama. So you have to be in a place where you're working and you're getting something. You're actually getting a taste. And you're developing more strength in devotional service. And if not, you have to adjust that. So one should carefully balance one's life so that one can come to the perfection of life at the end to remember Krishna. And there are, I'd like to give some practical tips on doing this. You don't mind practical things, right?
Right.
Your kula doesn't mind. Okay, first, a few points about giving attention to one's practice. There's a way of practicing devotional service that is called niyamagraha. And that means that one's performing the devotional service out of rote and not considering what it's about. And not considering what the goal is, and also not getting any results. It's illegal to perform devotional service without getting a result. And you have to try for that. That means you have to be conscious. And one of the sayings that I like that reminds me of how to counteract niyamagraha is a gardening metaphor, and that is that the best fertilizer, anybody here garden? Do you have a house plant? Anybody? The best fertilizer is the gardener's shadow. Somebody tell me what that means. Jishnu will tell us. The best fertilizer is a gardener's shadow. He's an industrial engineer. He'll know the answer to this. Give him the mic, please. You should have a bushel basket of microphones so that everyone has an opportunity. Because when we have these classes, it's not just for those who are sitting in the class. It's filmed before a live studio audience. It goes out to the greater audience of the internet. And so when we're equipped for it, then they can hear clearly. They get really happy. They start putting comments on there that I can hear. And we want to expand the vibration as widely as possible. Jishnu, what does it mean that the best fertilizer is the gardener's shadow?
What I think it means is that the gardener is constantly watching over the plants.
And how does that help? Yeah, how does that help? How? Like, give me a scenario. What might happen if the gardener goes out to look in the garden? Like what?
Thunderstorm
might be there. What else?
Hurricane.
Maybe there's a drought. He might not go out and look around in the hurricane, but it's a fact. If you go around and look in your garden, you'll see amazing things that you didn't see the day before. For instance, if you plant some tomatoes, you might go out and then see the next day that there are all kinds of little alien living entities who have attacked it and are eating the tomatoes. And you might invite them to go somewhere else. For instance, for a few years in a row, we had an infestation of snails. They're little vegans, those snails. So you can't really begrudge them much. They're kind of cute. And so I would go out at night when they come out, and I'd collect them up, put them in a box, and take them to the local park, and then let them free with the invitation to have all you can eat. Help yourself. And if I didn't do that, they would have devoured everything. They eat all the marigolds, they eat all the... whatever they get their hands on, they'll eat it, especially the seedlings. Whatever they get their little... I don't know what they have, but little, they're like a big mouth. They just chomp down on everything. So the best fertilizer is a gardener's shadow. It means you got to take a look and see what you're doing. It's good to review what kind of practice you're doing. Like one thing, when you're chanting japa, every day you might chant japa and you think my japa is fine, but if you record yourself chanting japa, you might think, oh, I'm not pronouncing the Maha Mantra. And also just the very act of recording yourself chant the Maha Mantra is a way that you become more aware that you're chanting. My friend Satyadev Prabhu gave this very helpful tip, at least I find it extremely helpful for chanting japa. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, and that is, when you're chanting japa, be aware that you're chanting. What might be the opposite of that? Could you say it in the microphone, please? You need a bushel basket of microphones. Either that or a fast runner who can get them around.
Being unaware that you're chanting.
What does that mean? How can you be unaware while you're chanting?
Your mind could be drifting.
Like where? Where would it go? Let's see. Chant one Maha Mantra and then tell us if you're thinking of something else.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Where was your mind?
I was thinking everybody's watching me right now.
Yeah. So your mind can be at any number of places while you're chanting the Maha Mantra, but if you keep remembering, I'm chanting now. You bring your mind back to the mantra. It's very important. Otherwise, you can be chanting and not hearing. So sometimes people become lazy, and just like if you go to the gym and you lift weights, then you get strong because you lift progressively heavier weights. But if you go to the gym and then you think, well, you know, it's really a botheration to lift the weights, so I'll just lift nothing and I'll just make the activity. It'll just go like this. And then lift up in the air my arms. Will I develop more strength? So in some way, I may be chanting japa and then I'll think, oh, I'll just chant, but I won't think about it. Which is kind of hard. It's like lifting weights to bring your attention back to your chanting. But if you bring your attention to your chanting, and that's heavy lifting to think about what you're doing, to be aware that you're chanting, then you progressively make progress in chanting the holy name. And Krishna recommends this in the chapter on Dhyana Yoga, in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, you have to bring your mind back, constantly back. And a very simple way to do that is to remember, am I conscious? Am I conscious that I'm chanting? Am I aware that I'm chanting? Or have I been unaware? You'll catch yourself and you'll see, oh, I wasn't even aware that I was chanting. I was thinking about everybody looking at me. In fact, you can be sitting there chanting straight back and everyone thinking, I wonder if everyone's watching me now chant such good japa, and your mind's not really on the Maha Mantra. It's possible. So you have to bring your awareness to your practice. Be aware that you're... and the power is already there in the sound vibration in the practice. And a second item in gardening is learning to compost whatever you get. Has anybody here ever done a compost? Give the microphone to our gardener over here. Krishna Ganga, what is compost and how did you do it?
Scraps from...
Scraps, otherwise known as? Throwaways, garbage. Garbage, yeah. Okay, and what do you do with the scraps and garbage and throwaways?
We have a container to put it in.
Okay. And that, what happens when you put it all in there?
Sort of ferments itself, and then it breaks down.
Breaks down into what? Is it valuable?
It is valuable.
And then what do you do with it?
You spread it in the garden. So that you can,
and what do the plants do with it?
It takes nutrients from it.
Nutrients, okay. So... this Prabhupada said in the purport today that we have to have what? Physical strength?
Enthusiasm.
And central power. So this requires some nourishment to have all these things. And Krishna Ganga is telling us about composting. So you take scraps, like garbage, and you put it in one place and you let it ferment and break down, decompose, and then it becomes valuable. So in a similar way, the various throwaways that we have in our life, and that may include mistakes that we make and the various kinds of obstacles that we face. We could take the lessons from that and put them aside and let them ferment. Think about the ways in which I've made mistakes, the things that I of the obstacles that I've faced, and let those ferment a little bit. And they become actually a nutrient-rich soil that we can give to our bhakti garden to help it grow. Never waste a good mistake. When you make a mistake, see it as fodder for your compost pile. Put it in there and learn from that. And then take it out. And throughout your life, you'll find devotees who have been around for a while and stuck with the process. They keep the gardening process going. They have all this rich nutrient from all the mistakes they've made, all the throwaways, all the times they've done it wrong. And this, it's like considered garbage, but it accumulates. And if you let it ferment and you think about it, like, why did I do it wrong? What happened? Then it becomes the fertilizer for the garden later on. And then a third gardening metaphor, and that is that you need to have a drip system for your garden. So what is a drip system? Anybody here have a drip system in their garden at home? Automatic, yeah?
Right, I've seen one in action.
Tell us about it.
In Charanagati, Balakrishna uses a drip system to water his crops.
What does it look like?
It's basically a hose that runs up and down the rows of plants, and he has it attached to a water source, and the water just slowly goes down, and there's little holes in the hose that just allow little bits of water to just constantly come out.
Is there a timer? Or does it run 24 hours?
I'm not sure about his.
Usually a drip system will have a timer, and there's this... it takes a long time to set up a drip system, but once it's set up, then the plants will be taken care of. They'll be watered properly. So in our garden at home, we have a drip system that was invented in Israel. And so you put large tubes that go throughout the garden. And then from the large tubes, there's smaller tubes that go one to each plant. And according to how much water each plant needs, there's a nozzle, and they're color-coded. And you put it on the end of the small... tube. And then, once it's right next to the root, then all of the plants have some kind of water source. Then that the big hose is connected to an electronic system. There's a box, and you can dial on the box, called rain dial, and there you can set each part of the garden on a time schedule to be watered. So for instance, we're in Toronto right now, but our garden is back in California. Who's watering it? Our little drip system is going off. Every day at the right time, the parts of the garden get watered according to what they need, so they stay alive and healthy. And in a similar way, one has to take the time to set up an infrastructure in one's own life, to have a drip system, to make sure that you're getting the Shravanadi Jal. What's that? Let's, Narhari Dev Prabhu, tell us what Shravanadi Jal means, literally, in Bengali.
The energy you give to the drip system, which is constantly watering the tree, so in the same way we have to constantly hear and chant.
What's Jal?
Jal is the...
Pani.
Yeah, Pani.
It's water. And Shravanadi?
Is the hearing.
It's Shravana and Adi together. So Shravana means hearing and etc. And all the other processes, the nine processes. So Shravanadi Jal. So this is the example that Lord Chaitanya gave, that you have to water the seed of devotional service. Because you have a little garden, right? You're all gardeners? Say yes.
Yes.
And then you have to have a drip system set up so that it gets enough water. And once you put it on automatic, Prabhupada calls this getting practiced automatically. So that every day you have a set program where you hear and chant a certain amount every day. Like for instance, what could you do with the Bhagavad Gita to make sure that you get the water of the Bhagavad Gita in your life every day? What's one thing you could do? Yeah?
Chapter a day.
What does that mean, chapter a day?
Reciting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day.
You could set that up, right, on your system?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Okay. Or you could do one verse like we do in the morning here. This is a very nice practice here at New Ramuna Dham. Every morning, the devotees here, just after Mangal Arati, hear one verse in purport from the Bhagavad Gita. It's worth the price of admission, coming to Mangal Arati, just to have that one verse, because it stays with you all day. That's water that goes in and it stays. Hearing that one verse. And could you do it at home? Let's say you couldn't make it to Mangal Arati one day, or two, or five, or ten. Could you set up a one verse a day Bhagavad Gita watering system at home? One person said yes. So
yes. Yes.
Okay. Who could stop you?
Nobody.
The law? Is it against the law to do that? Does everybody do it? Is it against the law? Is that why they don't do it? Is there's a government regulation that you can't do that? Why wouldn't somebody do it? Set up at least one verse from the Bhagavad Gita every day.
Laziness.
Laziness? Okay. So if you don't set up a watering system in your garden, if you don't get enough water, Lord Chaitanya said, in your bhakti garden, then it'll dry up. And so you have to water it properly. So it's worth setting up a drip system so that you make sure that you get your nourishment every day. So if you don't water your garden for 3, 4, 5 days, especially when it's hot out, it's going to dry up and die, right? Okay, so get a drip system. And this helps to maintain these elements, these qualities that Prabhupada mentioned. Enthusiasm for devotional service is one of them. And this is achieved by hearing and having the Shravanadi Jal. So, how's everybody so far?
Great.
On a scale of 1 to 10?
10.
1 means like you're bored and you want to go home. 10 means you want to hear a few more things.
10. It's 11.
Really? Okay, 11. Okay, so this kind of enthusiasm, it means also that one has to be determined. And I'm going to name some practical ways in which one can remain determined in one's practice of devotional service. How to develop determination. So the first one I already mentioned, but I'll mention it again because it's in sequence here. This is called work from your natural strength. Find out where you're naturally strong, and everyone has various aspects of devotional service that are attractive to them. And you should practice your devotional service according to that. In this way, Prabhupada quotes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the verse 1626. Thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation. You tell me who's saying this. Ignoring all the formalities of the material world, such chanting and remembering of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are all benedictory. So doing, I traveled all over the earth fully satisfied and free from pride and envy. Yes, Narhari Dev Prabhu.
Narada Muni.
Yes, it's Narada Muni. How old was he at this point? 5 years old.
Five years old.
Govinda, you're listening? Govinda? We're reading a verse from a five-year-old, and you're almost five, so I just thought I'd let you know. Purport. The life of a sincere devotee of the Lord is thus explained in a nutshell by Narada Muni by his personal example. Such a devotee, after his initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, takes very seriously chanting of the glories of the Lord and traveling all over the world so that others may also hear the glories of the Lord. Govinda is ready to travel around the world. Such devotees have no desire for material gain. They are conducted by one single desire, to go back to Godhead. This awaits them in due course on quitting the material body. Because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead, they are never envious of anyone, nor are they proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord according to personal capacity. To distribute the message for others' welfare without motive and material gain. This is important according to personal capacity, because one of the ways in which you can maintain determination is realizing what your personal capacity is and then enacting your devotional service according to that every single day. And Prabhupada mentions this in other places. For instance, in the section of Kardama Muni, Kardama Muni meditated for 10,000 years. He was qualified as a yogi. And when Lord Narayan appeared before him, he made a prayer and he asked the Lord for a wife. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this may seem odd, that he attained this kind of perfection of seeing the Lord face to face and then he asked for a wife. But Prabhupada said, just because a soul's liberated doesn't mean he doesn't have a personal capacity in his life. And he may have to adjust, he may accept a certain amount of sense gratification because of his psychophysiological nature to balance and go on performing devotional service. And therefore, he says, Kardama Muni said, I need a wife to perform my pure devotional service. So one should realize the necessity of one's personal capacity and act according to that. And the second item for developing determination in devotional service and getting this enthusiasm is to choose deliberate practice over luck. Deliberate practice over luck. Everyone please say.
Deliberate practice over luck.
Okay. So luck means success or failure apparently brought by chance rather than one's own actions. So deliberate means thorough consideration, awareness of consequences, and slow, steady, allowing time to mature. So rather than leaving your advancement to chance or luck, just say, oh, he's lucky he advanced. He was advanced in his last life. No, you can deliberately advance in devotional service. And how do you do that? First, in order to be deliberate, you have to deliberate. It's spelled the same way, but there's a process through deliberation, through thinking carefully about your situation in life and setting up a drip system, having the right kind of association, make thorough consideration of your practice. Thorough consideration. Look at it. And this is a good time of year to do this. We're coming near the end of the calendar year, and if you take time to analyze, how have I done so far? How are my various practices working out? Are there any places where I can make some slight improvement in my devotional service? What do you all think? Yes. Is it possible?
Yes.
Can you think of one place that you'd like to improve your practice of devotional service? Where?
Regulation.
Okay. Gaurav Prabhu, for the record, that was Gaurav Prabhu who said regulation. So this is something that can really help if you think about how to regulate. For instance, waking up at a certain time every day.
And I have a very, very, very practical tip about how to do this. I've experimented in different ways, and this works for me, about how to get up at a certain time every day. Should I share it with you, or should we just move on?
Yes.
It's not important, right? It's important? Okay. Dharmaprana Prabhu said, and by the way, I didn't get a chance to say, but Dharmaprana, you're the most inspiring devotee I've ever seen. I mean, I think about you here in Toronto, and whenever I see you, I become inspired to perform devotional service, and I thank you very much for all that you're doing for the world. Staying in one place and showing the example for the world. I just had to get that out, and I had forgotten to say it so far. I love you, Dharmaprana. You're the best. That's just my humble opinion. So for getting up in the morning, here's my trick. I have two alarm clocks. Two. One alarm clock I keep by my head when I sleep, and it has a little night light, so I can, in the middle of the night, I can look and see what time it is. It stays lit at night. I bought it at Recreational Equipment Incorporated. It's an old beat-up thing, but it works really well. And it sits there by my head, so if I wake up, a lot of times when we're traveling, you go to sleep, I'm asleep for half an hour and I think, it's time for Mangal Aarti, and I jump up and I look at the clock and it goes, nope, that's only half an hour. So it keeps me aware, even in the middle of the night. And then my other alarm clock is across the room. It's on the other side of the room. And so what happens is, when the first, and they're both set for the same time, or my first alarm clock by my head is set for 1 minute ahead of the other one. And so what happens is, as soon as the one by my head goes off, then there's a little gargoyle in my consciousness, this little creature who goes like, just go back to sleep. And then if I'm thinking to give in to such a thing, all of a sudden the alarm clock at the other side of the room goes off. And I have to get up. And I have to, get down, go across the room and turn it off. And by that time, I'm up. And once I've developed this routine where I know this one goes off, that one goes off, it becomes a foregone conclusion that you're getting up when the alarm goes off. There's no chance of switching it off. So this is kind of like an automatic drip system. Build it into your life so you're productive. If you get up at the same time every day, you'll be more productive. Gaurav Prabhu brought up this point about regulation. And sleep regulation, you have to have enough sleep, otherwise you can't concentrate on your japa. Your mind will just drift away. So the other trick is go to bed earlier. You can't cheat sleep. It'll catch up to you. I've seen it before. I grew up in a brahmachari ashram, and I've seen people, and I've tried myself, to try to cheat sleep artificially. And I've seen the results. And that is, you may get a few hours less sleep and think you're one of the six Goswamis. And then when you sit down in Bhagavatam class, you just start snoring. Or behind the wheel of a car, start snoring too. So you have to be really careful with sleep. It's important for your brain function to sleep enough hours. Prabhupada says in his books, between 6 and 8 hours. So find out what you need for your personal capacity and get it. But be regulated with your sleep. Don't mess around with it. It's a very dangerous energy or place to go. If you don't regulate it properly, it can really throw you off. So that's a practical tip. And if you find these practical tips you can use throughout your life, they really help you stay on track with the process of devotional service. So deliberate means thorough consideration. Consider all the aspects of your life and find out ways that you can make them better. What's another item, a place in your personal practice where you could make an improvement coming into 2018? Work with me, people. Come on now.
Not everybody at the same time.
No stampeding, please.
Eat healthy.
This is also very important. Gaurav Prabhu and I were just talking the other day about the scenario of two godbrothers. We saw one godbrother eat himself to death. We saw another godbrother who was on the death's doorstep, and then he changed his diet. And he was able to completely reform his physical health and come back to a place where he can practice devotional service for many years. So diet is very, very important. study the science of diet and be careful. Prabhupada mentions in his throughout his books, even though Mahaprasadam is there, it doesn't mean you have to eat sumptuously like that. You can honor Mahaprasadam by taking a little bit. Shouldn't overeat in the name of Prasadam, Prabhupada says. Be careful. So this is a practical thing. If you adjust your diet, like there are people out in the world in different professions, and when they're very careful about their diet, they're able to be proficient in these skills that they're doing. So same thing with devotional service. These are practical, and you can make a list of these. So make thorough consideration of the way you're practicing. This is deliberate. And the second aspect of being deliberate is to be aware of consequences. Have you ever done something where you didn't consider the consequences, or you neglected to think about them, even though you knew it was possible to consider the consequences, and then you regretted it later? Please say yes.
Yes. Yes.
That makes me feel better. Thank you. But if you remain aware of the fact that there are consequences, because the human life is a very refined stage for the living entity within this universe, and therefore the results of our activities are much greater than those of the animals, and therefore this word consequences comes up. We have to be aware of the fact that our movements in this world, however subtle, have consequences. And the more we become aware of that, the more deliberate we'll be in the way that we move throughout the world. For instance, in speech, if you speak in negative terms about others or about yourself, there will be consequences. If you don't learn how to communicate with people properly and you offend them, there'll be consequences in your life. In many different places. Where else might we consider the consequences of our activities in our daily life? Consequences. What other places where we should consider the consequences? Thank goodness for Narhari Dev over here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So if you don't follow the instructions of the spiritual master, at least the basics, like chanting 16 rounds, following the four regular principles, there are consequences.
Yes, there are. Like Joshua Hevitz, the famous violinist, once said, if I don't practice one day, I notice it. If I don't practice 2 days, my teacher notices it. If I don't practice for 3 days, the whole world notices it. And if you neglect your practice, you'll lose your spiritual integrity. And when you practice carefully every day, you complete the course that you've promised to complete, then you start to develop a kind of integrity within your own self, that I follow this. I actually follow what I'm speaking about and what I'm teaching to others. And therefore, there are consequences to skipping out on certain things. It may not... you may not see it the first day or even the second, but when you get a month down the road or 2 months or a year, you start veering off into very dangerous territory where you may not even be aware of it, but you've drifted so far away from your practice that the consequences are very grave. So the third thing is about deliberate practice rather than luck, is that deliberate practice is slow, steady, and allowing time to mature. You have to be patient, in other words, and see that the small things that you do every day make a huge difference over time. What did I just say? Yes, so tiny little changes in your habit over a period of time will have a huge effect on your life. So you don't have to make a gigantic change today or tomorrow at the beginning of this 2018 season. But if you find small little adjustments and you very patiently enact those improvements in your life without sabotaging yourself by saying, oh, I can't do these big changes. Make small changes. And you'll see that over time, through this deliberate increase in your practice of devotional service, conscientious devotional service, you'll make advancement. Checking time. Everyone still okay?
Time is tough.
Let's see if that's true. So what are the first two in the list of developing determination? First one is? Work from natural strength. And that's what the verse was about today, right? But the crocodile was strong because he was in the water. The elephant, although he's stronger than crocodile, elephant beats crocodile on the land, crocodile beats elephant in the water. So you have to work from your natural strength. So you have to be physically strong, Prabhupada said. You have to keep up your health, and someone mentioned diet. It's no joke. You actually have to feel strong, and you have to take care of your body. Prabhupada walked every day very vigorously. He also got massaged twice a day. He was also very careful about what he ate. He ate when he was hungry, and he ate very hot prasadam. It was Ayurvedically balanced what he ate, and it was simple, natural things. So yeah, you have to be careful about maintaining this natural strength that you have. Otherwise, if you're not feeling well, you won't do well. And what's the second thing?
Choose
deliberate practice over luck. This is the exciting thing about it being a human being. You can be deliberate. You can deliberate about how you're doing, and you can deliberately do better. You can make improvements. That's exciting. Right, Gaur? Yeah. Okay, so in a discussion, Prabhupada with Atreya Rishi, who was one of the leaders of the Krishna Conscious Movement, he's still walking the earth, great soul. He says to Prabhupada, how many qualifications does a spiritual master have in terms of being a spiritual master? Prabhupada, one qualification, he is a devotee of God, that's all. Atreya Rishi, also he is designated. Prabhupada, huh? Atreya Rishi, does he have to be designated by the former spiritual master? He has to be a devotee. He has to be? Prabhupada, oh yes, yes. Atreya Rishi, surrendered and designated, that is, identifies disciplic succession, both surrender and designation. Prabhupada, and by the result, Atreya Rishi, and the result of activity? Prabhupada, so far designation is concerned, the spiritual master never authorizes any one of his disciples, but it is up to the disciple to carry out the order, able to carry out or not. He says, but it is up to the student or the son to raise himself to the standard. He wants that each and every one of his disciples become as powerful as he is, or more than that. That is his desire. Just as like the father wants every son to become as qualified or more qualified than the father, but it is up to the student to raise himself to that standard. Atreya Rishi, I understand. Prabhupada, if you are incapable of raising yourself to the standard of becoming spiritual master, that is not your spiritual master's fault. That is your fault. He wants, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amaragnaya Guru Hoya. My order, everyone become guru. Now, if you cannot carry out the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then how can you become guru? The first qualification, you must be able to carry out the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you become guru. So that carrying out the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu depends on one's personal capacity. So I bring this up in the framework of being deliberate to say that it's not luck and it's not somebody else's fault if I don't advance. It's up to me to take the order and to implement these incremental improvements in my life to come up to the standard, Prabhupada says. And then you can qualify yourself to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world to the degree that you can improve yourself by taking advantage of Lord Chaitanya's order. Then you can be helpful and teach others. Then the devotee says, in another conversation, how can we increase our personal capacity to preach? Prabhupada says, by preaching. If you preach, then you'll meet with so many obstacles. And if you have to prepare yourself how to meet those obstacles, then you become strong preacher. Resistance. Okay, so the third item in developing determination and enthusiasm in devotional service is avoid distractions. Is it possible to avoid distractions, or is it inevitable?
Yes, it's possible.
It's possible, one person said?
Yes, it's possible.
It's possible, thank you. Okay, so distraction. Here's the definition. A thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. What does distraction mean? Okay. So, what are some of the ways in which that one might be distracted? A phone. Can a phone give you distraction?
Yes.
So what is the way in which to avoid being distracted by your phone? Shut it off when? All day long?
Before your sadhana.
Okay, before your sadhana, shut it off. Any other distractions you might have in your life? In your practice of devotional service? What is that?
Unlimited.
Okay, so one way is people might come to talk to you when you're doing your sadhana or something like that. Here's another practical tip I found. Get yourself a do not disturb sign. I find this invaluable whenever I'm, for instance, I'm traveling and I'm in a certain place. I have a do not disturb sign in my luggage. And when I need to read and not be disturbed, and I need, let's say I need a half hour, I might start that half hour and my phone might ring. So I turn my phone off. I might starting to read, and then somebody knocks on my door and says, "Hey, Vaish, how you doing? You still live in California? And how you feeling?" And then, you know, that could eat up 20 minutes right there. So if I put a do not disturb sign on my door, then I take it seriously, and other people take my space seriously also. And you can also get a little do not disturb sign, put it on your mind, and just put it up there. And when the mind comes like, "Hey, Vaish, you want to go do something else?" And he's like, "Don't disturb me right now, I'm busy." So you have to be deliberate in making sure that you're not distracted. And you have to look around in your life and see where there might be distractions and eliminate them. Take them out of your life. Make a list of distractions that are robbing you of your valuable 24 hours a day. And if you make a list of them, and then you deliberately eliminate those distractions from your life, you'll be time rich, and there is no greater value in this life than getting more time. You can find out an extra 5 minutes in your morning. What could you do with 5 minutes to improve yourself every morning? Yes? You could read that one verse in purport. And I was thinking this morning that at the pace you go here, you'll finish the whole Bhagavad Gita in 2 years. And if you read 2 verses a day, you'd finish the whole Bhagavad Gita in 1 year. It's only 700 verses, right? In 5 minutes, can you do that? That's a big thing. You'll be different by that 5-minute investment. So you have to avoid distractions. Everybody with me still?
Yes.
Number 4, narrow your choices. Narrow your choices, please say.
Narrow your choices.
Concentrate all your thoughts on the task at hand. This really helps me a lot. And this goes to the point that Shukadev Goswami makes, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. He says, when you perform devotional service, be extremely focused. And if you're extremely focused when you do your services, or when you do any of your activities throughout the day, which are helping you do your service, then it'll be very potent. It's Tivrena, it's like a ray of sun, but if you concentrate that ray of sun through a magnifying glass, you can start a fire. So when you're doing something, be there, be in the present. Don't start getting an anxiety about all the things you're not doing. Just be very focused on the thing you're doing right now and narrow your choices. And give your mind fewer choices to make. For instance, in the place that you live, for instance, where do you do your work or your projects? What kind of places do you choose? Dakshin? In your room? Or your personal space?
In the temple.
In your temple? Do you have a personal space you live in?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a way in which in our personal space there may be many distractions. It's possible, right? I met a personal organizer once and she showed me that there may be extra things in your environment, and these amount to what she called visual noise. And you know, all kinds of things you meant to get rid of, or you don't know what they're for, or they just pile up, right? And you just have them here, there, and everywhere. It creates a lot of noise visually, and it distracts you. If you clear your space so you have a simple environment, and you only have the project that you're working on right now, and you can focus on it, then you'll be much more intense. This tivrena. And similarly, with all your practices, clear everything else out. Don't let yourself get away from this concentrated application of bhakti. So what's number four?
Narrow your choices.
Narrow your choices. Yeah, get rid of some things. And so you don't have to make choices. Number five, become deeply committed. Become deeply committed, please say.
Become deeply committed.
And make a solid, well-thought-out plan that displays your best path to achieve your goals. And stick to it without deviating from your plan. Be very committed to it. And the next one is to realign your actions regularly. Say it.
Realign your actions.
That means go back and examine what you're doing, and is it working, or are you getting mission drift and you're moving off in another direction? And last one is don't forget the finish line. Don't forget the goal of life, and work very hard to go towards that in your life. It'll help you overcome a lot of the petty things that are affecting your life at the moment. And now we'll take a few reflections. The last one is always keep the finish line in mind. Don't forget the finish line. Remember what your ultimate goal of life is, because there are a lot of distractions, there's a lot of petty things that come up in our lives, but if you remember that the ultimate goal of life is to remember Krishna at the end, then it can bring you back to your most important activity, which is to practice devotional service with attention. Reflections. Any things that you heard that stuck in your mind that you're taking away with you? We'll go back to our go-to.
I think this theme came about in the last couple of days, is, and you spoke about it today, which is when you chant Hare Krishna, when you're doing your japa, what you offer to Krishna is your attention. And then you spoke about it today, like, how to be, when you're chanting, you have to be conscious that you're chanting. So that's one takeaway. Another takeaway for me is remove visual noise,
yes. So every little piece counts. And remove the little things, and it really helps your overall practice. And just in general, if you have a plan, if you're deliberate, there's an old saying that an ordinary person with a good plan can outsmart a genius any day. Because if you just follow a good plan and you stick to it, even if you're not a genius, you'll outdo the genius who doesn't have a plan, who's just all over the place. So an ordinary, simple person who follows the plan of devotional service, bhakti is so simple. There are just a few tenets to bhakti. And so it's called the simple path. But if you follow the simple path strictly, with great focus, then you get the highest result. Two more reflections. Yes?
I was just thinking about what you had said the other day about offering Krishna our attention at every moment. And he makes it easy for us to do so, because he's the taste of water, the purifiers, he's the wind. And so on. He's given us, he's told us where he is. And when we actively look at those things and remember that he's there, then we are getting him our attention.
Yes.
And the other thing I said was to run the antivirus of Srimad Bhagavatam through online on a regular basis. I really liked that because it made it very visual, because I know what's going on in my mind, I see what's there, and this is the solution, and I just have to
Yeah, those pesky little viruses get in there all the time because of the way the environment of Kali Yuga is organized. Yes?
And the last thing was from today. You're talking about doing things in small amounts and just increments, but doing it regularly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel overwhelmed when I look at, okay, I need to read these number of pages in order to meet a goal. I need to read the Bhagavad Gita, I need to read these many pages. So that can be overwhelming sometimes. And so it just reminded me that I shouldn't be so hard on myself, that if I'm able to just do a little bit, that's still progress. I shouldn't be overwhelmed to the point where I'm paralyzed. And,
hey, you know the science of homeopathy?
Yeah.
You know how it works?
I think they give you a little bit of...
The more dilute it is, they take a molecule of a particular substance and they dilute it down so it's so diluted that their science is, the more subtle it is, the more powerful it is. And so in a similar way, you may take various activities that you want to add into your life in a very diluted form and start them in a very small way, and then they'll have a great effect over time. Nirkula has a point.
Yeah, it's from Kornamase. She's asking you to please reference for the Narada Muni quote.
Oh, okay. Narada Muni quote is from 1-6... 26. Sorry? 1-6-26. Correct, thank you. 1-6-26. More reflections? Anything you heard you're taking away from today or any of the other days? Just give me two more. But none from Narhari Dev Prabhu or Runi Keshavi.
You talked about being able in order to perform your sadhana, you have to be healthy, eat healthy, correct amount of sleep, and so forth. And there's a problem that I have. All morning. If you can break up your sleep, because
if what?
If you can, let's say I need to sleep 8 hours sleep or 6 hours sleep.
Yeah.
I'll only be able to do at least four, and then later
break it up.
Is that helpful? Because
I don't know. You know, you have to do what you have to do, but. You know, there's lots of studies on sleep. You can read up on it. It's a very specific science, even in the Ayurveda. The Ayurveda talks about how you should be sound asleep before 10 o'clock at night. Because there are rhythms that the earth has, and our body is tied into those rhythms. And there are various organs that get purified during the night. They cycle through just like a dishwashing machine. It goes through various cycles. And if you miss those cycles, you'll find yourself out of balance. So you have to find the ways to sleep in the best times that you can. Anyway, that's it's a detail, but you have to look into it to regulate the best you can. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but you have to patch it together the best you can with sleep.
Because it's definitely, I cannot, by the time I reach home, it's after 10. They have to go before 10. And then have other things like my routine starts after I'm sleeping. You know, so I at least 1:30 and gets really quiet before 10. So, one of them, picking it up.
Yeah. Last one. Oh, last two. One, two. What? Gora.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to point out, so many points, but one is realign your actions regularly. Are things working, or are you getting mission drift and moving off in another direction? So I've started and stopped and started and stopped so many journals where, you know, I've attempted to do exactly this, reflect on, okay, what is it that I'm not able to overcome today? And often I don't find I'm able to overcome it. It just seems I feel stuck someplace. But at least it seems that a journal or a notebook is one way of reflecting and becoming more conscious of where the alignment is required.
Yes, it's definitely a recommended way of staying on track, is writing these things down and revisiting what your goals are and any of the observations you have about where you're practicing. This goes to the gardener's shadow, you know, being aware of what you're doing. Don't just let it drift, just don't go to luck, but be very deliberate about this, about the trying to refine your practice and do it incrementally. So we're taking this lesson from Gajendra, and it's a very practical matter that Prabhupada mentions, that you have to maintain strength. You have to have physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power in order to be successful in going forward in your devotional service. And there are very practical ways to do that. So feel free to use this end of the year to re-examine all the different places where you can make little incremental improvements. Make a plan. If you have a bigger plan than Maya's plan has for you, then you'll be successful. She has a plan for you. And if you don't have a better plan, then she'll implement her plan in your life. And you may not like it, but don't complain later that because you didn't have your own plan. And Maya says, here's a little plan for you that ends you up in upside down in a pond somewhere. Go premanande itai goda haripo 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 itai goda haripo 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 itai goda haripo. Vancha Gopna Vrishcha Kripa Sinabe Vacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnabe Bhyo Namo Namaha Goprima
Armarman Natari Armarman Natari Armarman Natari Armarman. Hey! Natari Armarman Natari Armarman Natari Armarman Natari Armarman.